All right, as we look at this, so the matter of the two olive trees, in Romans chapter 11, verse 24, we find, starting with this, "For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature and to a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted unto their own tree?" You'll notice that the word "by wild by nature," and of course that's talking about the tree representing the Gentile nations, those who are not born again, those who are not Jews. And then it talks about the good olive tree, and that's talking about the matter of with Abraham and Isaac and the teaching of the Jewish nation and where the Jewish nation should be. Went on to say in the next verse on that, in verse 26, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become him." Now, as we look at these two verses, there's much that is there. There's a lot of details, but we're kind of backing off a little bit and taking a look at what it's talking about of the two olive trees in dealing with Israel and with the Gentiles. In that, though the nation of Israel, in the latter days especially, and even at the beginning of that, was not perfect, it had its faults and problems just as the church does today. Israel will always be the elect nation of God. And so we see that in these particular passages. In verse 26, went on to say, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, that shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Now that last verse that is there, it's not talking about the salvation of the individual Jews necessarily. It's talking about the salvation of the nation of Israel, and how that Israel had been scattered, was no longer recognized as a nation, that it would not only be brought back and become a nation, but it would become the spiritual nation that God wants it to be. We talked about that in the prophecy on the Valley of the Dry Bones. The two parts of that, the first part, the development of a nation, the second part, the spirituality that is there. And then it says in that verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer." And not saying there's already come out of Zion the deliverer, but Jesus is coming back, and he will come back to deliver them. This is talking about the second coming of Christ, when he comes back to set up the political kingdom with Israel as the ruling nation. He will rule on David's throne, and this will be for 1,000 years, earth time. At the rapture, no one sees him at that time. He comes as a thief in the night, and it happens quickly. And as far as the world is concerned, nothing happened except they find some mysterious things that they cannot explain. People have disappeared. There's clothes laying all over the place, as if everything just dropped in place where someone was standing or sitting, and that some of the graves were open. And they don't understand what's going on there. But because of all of the tribulation and the horror that follows that, they forget about that. They're trying to figure out how they're going to survive the next 5 or 10 minutes that they're facing all of the tribulation that's coming. But Israel, as a nation, will be saved. It will become the ruling nation that God wants it to be. And the two olive trees deal with this and some of the things involved with it. So you have the good olive tree. It's called the good olive tree because of the roots that's involved with it, the roots tied to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, as well as some of the others. But these three are some of the main ones that God mentions over and over again throughout the scriptures. I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so on. As you know, that Isaac is the one that God told Abraham that would be the one that the nation would come from. Now, when God talked to Abraham about having a nation, it wasn't the matter of Abraham going out and conquering another nation and ruling that nation. It was a matter of developing a nation, creating a nation. Israel did not exist before this. When God talked to Abraham, Abraham was a Chaldean. He was not a Jew. He was not a Hebrew. That didn't exist. Then when Abraham obeyed God. Then the word, the Hebrew, came into existence. And then when Jacob came on the scene, and his name was changed to Israel, he had 12 boys. And these 12 boys, their families, each one became one of the tribes that we talked about, of the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes that are there. And so in the development, the creation of Israel, it as far as the bloodline, if they would do a DNA on a Jew, really, and if it was true, it would trace back to Chaldeans. That's the real bloodline that is there. But because of what God is doing with this family of Abraham, then the Hebrew, that's a language that is pure and true with these people, this people of Abraham, and also then the matter of the Jewish people. And we think of that as a race when actually it's all from the family of Abraham. This is considered the good olive tree because Abraham had faith and Isaac and Jacob. Now, Jacob was kind of a scoundrel in some of the things and getting the place, but God used him. And praise God for that. That's a good example for us. If he didn't use some of them, we would be out of luck today. He wouldn't use any of us. But God does use those whom we would not choose in order that he might receive the glory in them. And so this is considered the nation of Israel. So this good olive tree is in reference to the nation of Israel. Now you have the wild olive tree. And the wild olive tree is dealing with everyone who is not of the nation of Israel, that are not Jews or considered Jews or Hebrews. And this is what we call the Gentiles. Now, the Jews, as we use that term, the Israelis, they were to reach the world. Now, God had dealt with the rest of the world and from the very beginning with, as we look at just Noah and his three sons, all of them knew God. All of the descendants of the world, all of the people of the world traced their lineage back to one of these three boys. And our forefathers, going on back in that and with them, they all knew God and God dealt with them, but the Bible doesn't deal with that. God deals mainly with Shem, and then coming on down to Judah, and on through with the lineage of Christ. But the Gentiles, the Jews were to reach them. The Jews were to reach the world. They were to, God was showing his love through the nation of Israel and getting them to turn to God, and they turned inward. They looked upon everyone else as dogs. They could care less about the world. In fact, they would have nothing to do with them. And today, to our shame, most of our churches are doing the same thing. We have the good news. We have the full gospel. We have the full story. And we're to take it to the world. And we look down upon the world. And we turn our back upon the world. And may God forgive us. Where we need to have a love for the world as God has and reach a lost, dying world. And so where the nation of Israel failed, the church should be successful, but sadly to say, we're following the same pattern that they followed. Now, in Romans 11, 17, it talks about the nation of Israel, this good tree, and what happened to them. It says, now, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. What I want you to look at here is where it mentions some of the branches were some of the branches be broken off. When Israel failed to follow God, though they became a nation, King David was their king, and then Solomon was their king, they began to drift from God, they began to try to help God, they think they knew better than what God knew, they would redesign things and do things the way they wanted it, and got further from God. And God scattered them among the nations of the world. This is the talking about the breaking of the limbs off of this olive tree. And really, in a sense, as you look at this nation, what is there, you'd always have a remnant. But what you have really is a trunk, no limbs on it. It's desperate. Looks like that there is no hope. There's nothing there. That God has done away with the Jewish nation. And that God would raise up another nation, another people. And still today, in many of our churches, many of our denominations, even Southern Baptists, teach in their seminaries, that the church replaces Israel. nothing will replace Israel as the nation of God. And God is going to keep his promise to Abraham. He will not break his promise. And so, though it looks like Israel didn't exist and wouldn't exist anymore, the limbs were cut off, they laid on the ground, and later on they became barren. They said, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. And so because they refused to believe and follow the things of God, the things that they were supposed to be doing was not being accomplished, and it looked like God was through with them, involved with that. Well, as time went along, God prophesied and had the prophets to talk about that the Messiah would come and the limbs would be restored back on the good tree. But in the meantime, something else would happen. It looked like everything was just going away with. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 27, God gave them this warning. And he said, if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me. If you're not going to listen to me, if you're not going to obey me and do what I want you to do, he said, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I will chasten you seven times for your sins. God says, I'm going to correct you. You're not going to get by with your sins, with your rebellion. And if you think for one moment, we as the bride of Christ, we as the body of Christ, we as that is to have the highest position of all, if you think for one moment we're going to get by with the sins that we're doing and our rebellion to God and wanting to change what God wants to do, you got another thought coming. God will not put up with it. And he tells them that he wasn't going to put up with this. And so he said, this is what he'd do. He said, I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. You remember when Israel, as we talked about the budding of the fig tree, of how that when Moses sent in the spies, that land flowed with milk and honey. That land had fruit that was of tremendous size and was plentiful. Now it would become desolate, and it became desolate. As God scattered the nation, scattered the people, the land became utterly desolate. No one wanted that land whatsoever. They couldn't do anything with it. It wouldn't grow anything, wouldn't produce anything. Went on to say, not only would the land be desolate, said, I will scatter you among the heathen, and I will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Talk about a primitive time. It stayed that way for centuries. As you would go to Israel, and you would see the ruins and all that was there in the land. And then he went on to say, then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. By enjoying her Sabbath means you cannot work the land. If you tried to work the land, it wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't take the plow. It wouldn't take the seed. It just remained desolate until the budding of the fig tree. And, of course, we talked about that and what God would do. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64, the Lord also tells about this judgment that would come. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, and from one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. He said, I'm going to scatter you among the nations, and you're going to come under their influence. You're going to be doing what they are doing. Then he went on to say, and among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and a failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. The Jews have never been at peace down through these years and would not be at peace, regardless of their wealth that they might gather in other nations, but yet their name is a byword. Their name, the prejudice against them has been great. And will be great until God restores them and puts them in the land the way that he wants them to be, and they're that spiritual nation. So that warning comes, and it looks like the limbs, they've lost their leaves. They're dead. There's no hope. And that was the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones. God took Ezekiel out to a valley of dry bones that were very dry, that had been there for a long time. There was no way those bones could live. There's no way that these limbs could ever be used. They need to be taken out and burned. But God says no. Now, in the meantime, doing this, the matter of the limbs and what would happen in that, God promised that a branch would come. The branch would come out of the roots on that Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. In Isaiah 11:10, he went on to say, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. This root, as you can see here on the picture, would come out of the root. This is the first coming of Christ. The Jews would not really accept that, but it's there. There's hope, there's assurance that God has not done away with Israel. This is to encourage the people and to realize that God will keep his promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the others in this, and that his word will be fulfilled. We can have that assurance. Any promise that God makes, we know is true, regardless of what we might think about it or of the delay of the blessing that might be there. They have a purpose, and God has a purpose in that. So this branch, as it came of the root, the first coming of Christ, the Jews rejected him, and those limbs still remain dead. The Jewish nation still as not being recognized by the world and the people scattered around the world. But at this time, with the branch, the Gentiles, through faith in Jesus Christ, was grafted into this tree, into the good tree, and the promise and the teachings to Abraham and Isaac and so on would be part of the foundation and the teaching of the church, which would not replace Israel, though it would look like that's what's happening, yet that's not the picture at all. It is not replacing Israel. Israel will always be the elect nation of God. They are blind in part until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Now, as this branch, Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, that we could become children of God, we would be grafted into this good tree. Our root of our teaching is in the Old Testament. We have some churches today want to say they're a New Testament church. They won't have anything to do with the Old Testament. You will never understand the New Testament without knowing the Old Testament. You've got to have a thorough understanding of the Old Testament to even to begin to understand what is in the New Testament and what is there. That's our roots. We're grafted in to this good tree. Well, Jesus ascended back to heaven. Still, nothing happened to the branches, the natural branches, the original branches that was there. But we have then the grafting of out of the wild olive tree, out of all the nations of the world, people being saved, people coming to the knowledge, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing that he's the Son of God, that he died for their sins, was buried and raised again the third day. And they're grafted in, and yet they don't want to look at their roots. They want to look in the future, and they misunderstand the future because they're not grounded in the root of the tree in which they are grafted into. Verse 24, for thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary. This is not your normal type of grafting. You might look at grafting, and those who know how to graft limbs in there, as they would look at this, everything is different. It's not the right way to do it. God doesn't do it the way we do it. He does it the way that he wants it done, that he receives the honor and the glory, and that the power is his and not a natural power and not of nature or of man. He says, you're grafted in contrary to nature into a good olive tree. How much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted in their own olive tree? Again, we're reminded, and God reminds us that these natural branches that look dead are not totally dead. They will come to life again. They'll be grafted back into the good tree. They will be that nation that God wants them to be. But right now, in the meantime, you've got the grafting from the wild olive tree. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible tells us how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, the mystery means things that were taught that you couldn't understand. We have a lot of mysteries in the Old Testament. Things that were taught about the church, about the bride of Christ that they didn't understand. Things that were taught about the tabernacle that they did not. It was a mystery to them. Why do we have all these colors in here? Why are the boards overlaid with gold? Why do you have two rooms? Why the candlestick? What's the purpose of this a table of showbread and the ark that's in there. Nobody can look at it and see it except the high priest. All of these things posed a mystery, but that mystery would be revealed in the New Testament. And we have a revelation of that where we can understand those things, and that everything that was taught in the matter relation to the tabernacle of the temple and all the sacrifices pointed to Jesus, and Jesus would fulfill all of those. He is the Passover lamb. He is the scapegoat. He is the one that they were sacrificing symbolically in the Old Testament. But they didn't understand that. And especially about the nation and how that it would be scattered, but be brought back. This was a mystery. And then about the Gentiles being grafted in. It goes on to say in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. What was taught there wasn't known until now. Now it's revealed. It said unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. We must depend upon the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us in all that is there. And it goes on to say in verse 5, what is this mystery? That the Gentiles, whom the Jews looked upon as dogs and would have nothing to do with them, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. We talk about Abraham and how wonderful it is, and the Jews just cringed at that and said, he's not anything to do with you, you're a Gentile. All through Jesus Christ, see, we're grafted into that, and he becomes a blessing to us and means and is a great example for us in the matter of faith and other teachings that are there. And so this was a mystery that they didn't understand that we're seeing unfolding now. And so we call this the local churches or the church age. During the time the natural branches are laying dormant and it looks like they're dead and God is through with them, they're not. We find then the grafting in of the those who come to Christ by faith and to the good tree. But then on May the 14th, 1948, Israel once again was recognized as a nation, but their limbs were not grafted into the good tree. To be grafted in, or for them to be put back in, to be grafted in is through faith in Jesus Christ. And they haven't come to that place or would not be at that place now. And so when Israel became a nation and began to develop and has over these years, the leaves seemingly look like they're growing back on the limbs that are laying there on the ground. It looks like they're coming alive by themselves in that. And it would seem that way as we look at Israel. Many people still don't understand that. They do not see God's hand in developing Israel and all that's involved with them. Now, Israel is not grafted back in to be recognized as God's elect nation at this particular point, nor today, but the day is coming when he will. We find that still yet in every day that God delays, that time for the limbs to be grafted back in is the day of salvation for the Gentiles. Now, in Romans 11, 24, for if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, talking about us who are Gentiles, and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? He said, it's a marvelous miracle that you would even have anything related to this. And yet you are. You're grafted in to these teachings and the basis of it. Well, if that's true with you, it'll also be true with the natural branches. They will be grafted back in. Now, we find in Romans 11, 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now, some of the Jews individually, but not as a nation, some of the Jews individually have come by faith and became a child of God. And they have a higher position than what the nation is, because now they can be part of the bride of Christ. But it says here they're blind in part. The nation itself has nothing to do with Jesus and them. And it says now this will happen until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. That particular time starts with the rapture. It goes through the tribulation period to be completed of the fullness of the Gentiles. We are in that time of the Gentiles, and the end will start with the rapture and go through the tribulation period, and that will conclude the fullness of the Gentiles, they'll be finished at that time. And that's a whole new study within itself. Now, at this time, when we begin the fullness of the Gentiles coming in, is when the natural branches will start to be grafted back into their tree. And so right now, on that tree, you've got these branches that's come out of the wild olive tree. That's us. It could be today. It might be tomorrow. Those branches are going to be cut off. We're going to be cut off of that tree, and we're going to be taken up to heaven. We use the term rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will go to heaven and stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And then we will also be at the wedding. We'll be the bride. Man, what a glorious thing this is for us. While this is going on, the Jews, these natural branches, are going to go through a period of purification, a period of being purified, of the bad limbs being cut off and taken care of, being pruned, and so they can be grafted back in, that they would be that nation. That time is the time of the tribulation period. It lasts for 7 years that God goes through that process in grafting these natural branches back into the tree. In Ezekiel 20 and verse 34, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of all, out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. God says, now for me to bring you back in and to graft you back into the natural tree, to the good olive tree, it's going to be with fury. That's talking about tribulation. And that's the tribulation period in which God will do that. And man, I'm so glad and thank God we won't have to go through that. But the Jews will. And being purified and the dross and the and all of the foreign elements burned out so that the pure Jewish teaching will remain. And for them to be that nation where that David will become their king again, and he'll give his throne to Jesus when he comes back. Now, in this, in Romans 11, 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion. Not there already has. There shall come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jesus is coming back, in what we call the second coming, to this earth. He will fight the battle of Armageddon. He will go down to Jerusalem, stand on the Mount of Olives. He'll judge the nations, and then he will go into the temple area, and into the government of Israel that will be established again. And there David will give him his throne, and Jesus will rule the world with a rod of iron from the throne of David, which is located and will be located in Jerusalem. And so now we have the matter of this, and let's just take a look at this chart for just a moment. You have the limbs taken off of the Old Testament that carries over into the New Testament. With that branch that comes, the first coming of Christ, and you have that branch coming of the root, and now the limbs from the wild olive tree grafted in. This is the development of the church, the development of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. The branches is still there, and they will remain there until it's time for them to be grafted back in. As we're grafted into the good olive tree, at the rapture, we will be taken out. Where it says again in Romans 11, 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That fullness of the Gentiles, that end of this, starts with the rapture and goes through the tribulation period. We're taken out. Now, the natural branches will be grafted in, but they go through this period of tribulation such as the world has never seen before or will see anything afterwards. Praise God, we're taken out before it. And then Jesus comes back in Ezekiel 20, 14, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And so as you read in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, you see the horror of this period of tribulation and of purging these limbs. that they might be grafted back in. And so all Israel, the nation of Israel, shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I shall take away their sins. And so then during this time, at the conclusion of it, the natural branches are grafted back into the good olive tree, and it becomes the ruling nation of the world with Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These are the two olive trees of dealing with Israel and dealing with the Gentiles. We're at that point, at the time that is for Jesus to come. Only the Father knows of that. He will take us out, and then they'll begin the process that God will take the Jews through to graft the natural branches back in. Though they're a nation, they're not that spiritual nation. This will be the last half of that prophecy on the Valley of the Dry Bones, of where they will see their spiritual breath during this time and what is there. And so right now in Romans 4:13, they're grafted back in and become that nation, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world, talking about Abraham, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The promise will be finished. God will keep his word. Praise God for that. What a tremendous victory and assurance we have. God keeps his word. There's an old saying that used to float around. I haven't heard it anymore. God said it, that settles it. And you'd better believe it. And you can count on God's word. And we better do it according to God's word, not what we would like to do or how that we might think it ought to be, but exactly as it is according to God's word. We're in that time. We've been looking at the different prophecies. The Valley of the Dry Bones, the budding of the fig tree, the rebuilding of the temple, and all these showing that we're at that time. It's time for Jesus to come and to get his bride. God delays that return of Jesus. Every day that he delays it is a day of salvation for a soul. It's a day of salvation for a church to quit playing around and get down to business and bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Praise God, he lets us know these things, that we can understand them so that we would be busy about his work and have a better understanding to do what he would have us to do. But sadly to say, many still do not know, even God's children, and many don't want to know. And they continue to just go around with no purpose, not accomplishing what God wants them to do, but they try to do what God wants done in their ability and fail. And that's where we're at now, with many problems in our church, because we are trying to do God's work in our ability that we might receive the glory, when we need to turn loose and do it in God's power and let him have the glory and do it his way. His way tells the true story. Our way magnifies us. And that's the wrong thing to be done on that. And so it's time for the rapture. Where that we have this, I have a picture there of the cemetery. Then of people standing outside the cemetery in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, where it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Those who have died and their bodies are in the cemetery, they're not there. Their soul and spirit is with the Lord. When Jesus comes back at the rapture, they come back with him. And as they come back with him, only their graves are open. Not all the graves. Only their graves are open, and they receive their resurrected body. They go up into the clouds. Then we which are alive and remain, and that next verse says that, "Within we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, I want you to notice, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." That's where the word rapture comes from. "Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." This is not the second coming. Jesus doesn't come in the clouds. He comes in the air. At the second coming, we come back with him in the clouds. But at this point, which can happen now, and should happen now, is when we would meet our loved ones in the clouds. How quick does this happen? Quicker than you can blink your eye. It's over with. I mean, you haven't got, those who are left, doesn't have a chance to figure out what's going on. I mean, it happens, gone, and other things begin to occupy their minds quickly at that time. But when we're in the clouds, then we meet the Lord in the air. and follow and do what he would have us to do in casting Satan out, going before the judgment seat of Christ, and then being married to Christ. The question is, will you be taken out? Are you ready for the rapture? What about your friends? What about your families? At that time, you can't, no, no, Lord, wait a minute. I need to talk to my friend one more time. Or, Lord, I need to get my son ready, or my daughter ready, or my grandchildren. No, it's too late. Now is the day of salvation, not then. Now is the time for us to do what God would have us to do. And so you need to make that decision now, not later. It's time for Jesus to come. Are you ready? May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.